Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Saiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Madhuraya Vedi Ramayane Saiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavante Cha Madhye Cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate Mukam Karvari Vachalam Bhangum Langayate Giram Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatharanam Paramananda Madhavam. Paramananda He Madhava Padinda Ruchi Makaranda Makaranda Parakori Anande Moro Hari Hari Harinja Name Mangaveva Parikori De Chakadola Se Chakadolanga Paraye Manamora
Yeah. This song describes our situation, and it describes our only hope. Shri Krishna Bhajana Lagi Samsare. I came to this world to worship Krishna. The Bhagavatam describes that the baby in the womb, he's praying to the Lord, please, this time, allow me to remember you. Allow me to do your bhajan in this life. But then again, when that baby comes through the process of birth, it's such a traumatic experience, we forget. We forget why I came here. And then, Maya Jali Bhandi Hoya Briksha Samana Hoya. I become bound up by Maya. And I become very dull, like a tree. Sneha Lata Bedi Bedi Tanukoi Lisseshe. And there's a creeper that started growing around my tree. It's the creeper of mundane attachment, mundane love. And then Kida Rupe Naritahi Hridoya Pradeshe. Manifesting the form of an insect that eats its way into trees. The tree-boring insect. A woman entered my heart. And then on my tree, fruits came. Phalarupe putra kanya dali bhangi padi, in the form of sons and daughters. And those fruits, they fell from the branches of my tree. And then a bird came and it made its nest in the branches of my tree, the tree of my life. Kalarupi bihanga upadi basa kori. That tree, that bird, was the bird of time. And I didn't water my tree. I was very, very dull. I didn't think. What is the water? Shravanam kirtanam jale. The water of hearing and chanting about Krishna. I never watered my tree. So what happened? Barite na paila gacha sukaye gela. My tree became very dry. And then the forest fire came. Sangsarera dhavanala tahati lagila. That terrible forest fire of birth and death, and the tree of my life caught on fire. And Lochan Das Thakur says that two streams of smoke began to come from the tree of my life. Durasa durvasana dui ute dunia. Indicating false hopes and wicked desires. These are the two columns of smoke coming from the burning tree of my life. Wicked desires and false hopes which are going up in smoke, not bearing any fruit. And in that situation, Fukara Koroi Lochan Marilama Pudiya. Lochan Das Thakur, seeing no other solution, begins to call out, help, help me. I'm dying, I'm on fire. Egao, egao, mo Vaishnava Gosai. He calls out, please, please, egao, mo Vaishnava Gosai. Please, oh dear devotee, please, Karunar Jalasinjata Virakshapai. Please shower me with the rain of your mercy. Vaishnava Gosai. Please come, please rescue me. Praptasya Kalyana Gunanavasya. The spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he's like a great rain cloud that can come and can put out this fire. And he pours down water. But it's not ordinary water. What kind of water is it? Shravanam Kirtanam Jale. It's the water of Krishna Katha. It's the water of Srimad Bhagavatam. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Mahuraho Rasika Bhuvibhavuka. And this fire is inside of our hearts. So to put this fire out, we have to drink this life-giving water from the spiritual master, from sadhu, in the form of Krishna Katha. So, on our first day in our discussion, to backtrack a little bit and look at things, we spoke about the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhusara Vishroy Pratishloki Pratyakshi Nanatakoi. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. Every verse, every syllable has unlimited meaning. Premamayi Bhagavata, Krishna Rasri Anga. The Srimad Bhagavatam is made out of Krishna Prem. It's part of the body of Krishna. Krishna Rasri Anga. We should understand the special position of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with other Vedic literatures. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he once commented that if all the books and all the libraries of the world were destroyed, there'd be no loss if only Srimad Bhagavatam remained. So that includes all the Vedic literatures. And we discussed this point, how Dharma Projita Kaitavotra, the Srimad Bhagavatam begins by kicking out all the nonsense religion of all the other different Vedic literatures emphasize. Kaitava Chatushtoy, four types of cheating religion, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And we spoke about how there are kama shastras. And when we mentioned how Vatsayana, the compiler of Kama Sutra, he was a brahmachari. People don't know that. And he says in Kama Sutra, I'm writing this book so that people will give up sex life, give up their attachment for that thing. That was his purpose. But that book is written for certain people in a certain mode of nature. Higher than that Kama Shastra is the Arthashastra. Arthashastra discusses how to make money, a very popular subject today. Discusses how to do warfare, another very popular subject today. It discusses how to manage things, how to manage society, another very popular subject. But higher than the Arthashastras are the Dharma Shastras. They show us how to be religious. Respect your mother. Respect your father. Respect the cow. Be a vegetarian. Take initiation. Worship Lord Vishnu. Understand your role within Varna and Ashram and act according to that. That will be good for you. That Dharma Shastra is higher than the Artha Shastra. But Srimad Bhagavatam rejects all of them. The tree of my life is on fire and you're coming with an eyedropper. You're going to put a couple drops on my tree. It's not going to help. Your Vanashram Dharma is not going to help me to put out this fire. It won't work in this age. So Srimad Bhagavatam begins by kicking out all those things and describing them as Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, because they're selfishly motivated. It has our motivation and interest, and it's not going to put out the fire that's burning and burning in our hearts. As we mentioned, Mick Jagger, he said, I can't get no satisfaction. You can't get any satisfaction from Mana Sanhita, from Vishnu Smriti, or from these other Vedic literatures. We have to go to Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, Kalo Nashtadi Samesha, Puranarko Dinoditaha. After Krishna left this world, he left behind Srimad Bhagavatam. This was his plan. This is the literature for this age of Kali Yuga. It's a very special Kali Yuga. It's Danya Kali Yuga. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared. And it's special because Srimad Bhagavatam has also appeared as the incarnation of Krishna. And all these other Vedic literatures are not meant for this age. They may be useful. We may quote them sometimes. Sometimes they have some statement glorifying the holy name. We appreciate that. We may take some wisdom from them. But there's no real shelter there. There's only real shelter in Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes Panchama Purushartha, the fifth and highest goal, which is Krishna Prema. In fact, Prema Mayi Bhagavat. It's simply made out of Krishna Prema. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam. We discussed something about that on the first day, just to try to refresh your memory a little bit. Then on the second day, we spoke something about what it means to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Who has Shravana Adhikar, the qualification to hear? It requires three things. Panipattena, pariprashnena, sevaya. It's not a passive thing. It's not passive listening. It's active listening. We have to act upon it. We have to contemplate. And we spoke of this story about Gokarna and his wicked brother, Dunduli. And how Dunduli became a ghost. And Gokarna freed him from that form as a ghost by reciting the Bhagavatam. But when he saw the Vishnu Dutas come and take his brother away to the spiritual world, Gokarna had a question. What's going on? So many people are sitting here and listening. And my brother was not the most qualified person. He was a very wicked person, very sinful and demoniac, and became a ghost because of his wicked deeds. But why is it you guys sent a Vaikuntha airplane for him and everybody else is still here? He asked that to the Vishnu Dutas, who are the greatest authorities on spiritual life. And the Vishnu Dutas explained to him, although everyone heard, they didn't listen with the same quality. They didn't contemplate what you were saying. They didn't apply it in their life. They didn't have a proper desire to do that thing. They were passive listeners. And we described how Srila Prabhupada, one discussion, how he was speaking about his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And how he said there is a certain class of men, he called them the Dandavats class of men. They come and they offer some Dandavats. Oh, Maharaj! Pranam, Pranam! Kripa Koro, Kripa Koro, give me your mercy. They're a Dandavat class of men. They come and offer obeisances, but they're not interested in hearing. Sunadena Sunakana goes in this ear and it comes out the other ear. And we read some things from the Skanda Purana about different types of listeners, both good and bad, which are compared to different animals, like the parrot and the swan and the chataka bird and the wolf and a bull. Mm-hmm. And we describe different types of listening in the mode of passion, goodness, ignorance, and Vishuddhisattva, transcendental listening to the Bhagavatam, transcendental service to the Bhagavatam. And how we should serve the Bhagavatam. Shu Shu Sho Shadadanasha Vasudeva Katarichi Shammahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirtana Sevanat. We should serve. Otherwise we don't get the proper result. So Punyatirtana Sevanat. We want to serve that person who's like Punyatirta, who's a great personality. That person is the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is our third session, and in this session we want to speak something about who is a qualified speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, who possesses that water to put out the fire of the tree of my life. It's not a simple thing. It's not a cheap thing. It's not that just anyone can speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vrindavan Das Thakur is described. Mahachinja Bhagavata Shaila Shastra Dhyanabhujiya Vidya Tapa Pratishai Hare Krishna Hare Bhagavata Bhuji Heyo Jara Chigyan Shreya Jani Kabu Bhagavata Chetramar Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Mahachinta Bhagavat. The Srimad Bhagavatam is inconceivable. We spoke about this on the second day. A very important topic we didn't refresh our memories about. The difference between reading and hearing. You can't cheat Krishna. You can't decide I'm going to make a relationship with Krishna by reading a book. I can read a book about the life of Kalindi. Very nice book. A wonderful person. But if all I do is read the book and say, yes, her and I are very close, and I never go to meet her, it's a kind of cheating. It won't work. Krishna says, Jaine Bhakta Jana Parthaname Bhakta Sate Janaha. Those people who say they're my devotee, they're not my devotee. We can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam directly. It's only understood through the medium of a devotee. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, and we read many statements from him, he said again and again and again, you can't become a devotee just by reading. And they said, well, Prabhupada, what about your books? Prabhupada said, no. You have to hear from a person. The devotee said, well, what about your purports? And Prabhupada said twice, no, no. You have to hear from a person. It's not enough just to go to a book. It's not the same to be able to hear from Srila Prabhupada. It's not the same as just reading a book. We discussed about tapes. Tapas Prabhu raised this nice question. Is there a difference between hearing from a tape and hearing from a person? Of course there is. If you're upstairs, in the upstairs part of the restaurant, you're listening to a nice lecture, Srila Prabhupada, a recording, and then someone said, hey, amazing thing, Prabhupada just walked into the temple and he's giving class now. Come, come. You say, no, I'm hearing the tape. It's just the same. You won't do that. It's not just the same. That tape is a very clever reproduction. It's a very clever trick they've done, you know, through some magnetic tape and through some computer technology. They've been able to reproduce almost perfectly that sound. So good that you'll be fooled if you hear it in the next room. But it doesn't have the same effect. Because Krishna comes when the Bhagavatam is spoken. And Krishna doesn't just come when you play a tape recorder. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't read Srila Prabhupada's books. We should read them every day. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't hear Srila Prabhupada's tapes. We should hear them regularly. But don't think they're going to replace Srila Prabhupada. Don't think that some scientists, they captured Srila Prabhupada and they put him inside this little tape and he's in there. He's something much, much more than that tape. In real life, he may give you a slap. He may praise you. He may give you a personal instruction. But sometimes he may do it through the tape also, or through the book, but not generally. There's a difference between hearing from a person and a book. So Mahachintya Bhagavat. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Maha Achintya. Incredibly inconceivable. Sarva Shastri Gai. All the Shastras say this thing. Iha na bhuje vidyatapa pratistoy. It can't be understood by scholarship or penance. It doesn't matter. You may be a great scholar. Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam na Buddhaya na Chatikaya. The Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Lord Shiva says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam by your buddhi, your intelligence, nor Nachatikaya, by reading a commentary. The Bhagavatam is Krishna. And Krishna, Bhakti Bhagavatam, he's only understood through bhakti. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Mama Bhajanati, Yavanyas Chashmi Tattvataha. I'm only understood by bhakti, not by reading a book. This is a science of bhakti. We want to understand the science of love. You can't develop a relationship with a person just by reading a book in the same way that you can by coming in contact with them. It's not the same. One can only do that through bhakti. So he says, Bhagavata Bhujihino Jarachi Gyan. One who's not a devotee of Krishna, no matter how great a scholar they are, they'll never understand Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not possible. Therefore, it's described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Jiva Bhata Charja Chakravarti Nitya Sabha Para Ona Dhani Sabha Ganda Alibaba Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Padaya Sabe Dhamma Kore Saitara Sahita Dhamma Pate Hare Mare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Rama Jeva Bhatta Charja Chakravarti Nishya Sama. Don't waste your time trying to go to all these pundits, these Chakravartis, the Bhattacharjas, the Dvivedis, the Trivedis, the Chaturvedis, the Mishras. These people have studied all this Shastra. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, these people who are just making a business out of reading Shastra, a business out of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, but they don't have any realization at all. They're just mundane religionists. Prabhupada coined a phrase, churchianity. Churchianity, some religious thing. And sometimes the devotees also do it. Come, come, we'll show you the deity, give some donation, be a life member. You'll go back to Godhead. But you can't go back to Godhead just by giving some money. It doesn't work like that. So don't hear from these kind of people, these Bhattacharyas, Chakravartis, Mishras, and other so-called scholars. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Shastripadai sabe e karma kori. Their study of the Shastra is simply karma. That's all that it is. It's not bhakti. They're just doing some activity to make some money, to become famous, to get some position, to let everyone know I'm a great religious person. And what is the result from hearing from them? Shrotara sahita jamapasi duvimari. Those people who hear from them, they'll be bound up by Yamaraj and dragged down to hell. You won't get a proper spiritual result from them. Brahmavivarta Purana, Prakrita Kanda, chapter 21, describes Sudranam Supakaricha Yohare Nama Vikrayi Yovidya Vikrayi Vipro Vishahino Yatoragaha. Someone who has no bhakti for Krishna, who makes a living cooking for sudras, or who initiates disciples into the holy name so that he can get some money, or who lectures on Shastra, on Bhagavatam, just to get some money. Such a person is a Brahman in name only. He's not really a Brahman. Brahmavivarta Purana says, his Brahminical status is destroyed by his misdeeds. These so-called vipers, snakes, he says, without poison, they frighten the ignorant. They control their ignorant disciples and followers through fear and materialistic partiality. Materialistic partiality. This one's giving so much money. Oh, we like you very much. You're very nice. And come, we'll give you a free dinner at the restaurant and a nice plaque and this and that. This other person's coming. Doesn't have very nice clothes, no money. Excuse me, get out of the way. We had some business to do, this wealthy person. In this way, so many people, they're trying to do business out of Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't hear from them. Krishna says, we should hear from the devotee. Duhisthani Bhagavata Rama Srimata Bhagavat has two meanings. Grantha Bhagavat, the book Bhagavat. Or Krishna Kripa Patra. Very beautiful expression. Krishna Kripa Patra means the devotee Bhagavat. The book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. Krishna Kripa Patra means literally that personality who's a pot full of Krishna's mercy. He's the second Bhagavat. Dvara, through the doorway of these two Bhagavats, the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat, Diya Bhakti Ras, one will get Krishna Bhakti Ras. Not just some religion, not just some spiritual information. Let me memorize it. Let me pass some test and then impress everybody I have a diploma. Bhakti Shastri, I was number one. In Bhakti Shastri, don't you know? You should be respectful to me. No, you'll get something more. You'll get Krishna Bhakti Ras. Tanara Hridaya Tanre Prema Hoivas. And Krishna will appear in the heart, your heart, and you'll get Krishna Prema. This is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is a living experience. It's not a theoretical book. It's not a book that we master. Like in university, we were mentioning the other day, you study George Orwell's 1984, and you master the book. This book you serve. Because it's Krishna. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an experience. This book is a practical experience. It's not just something which is meant for reading. We have to approach the Bhagavatam through the devotee Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that, we have to serve them. This is the qualification to hear. We spoke about in the second day. We should understand that this devotee is non-different from the book. Myself, my devotee, Mora Bhakta, Ara Granta Bhagavate, these three, myself, my devotee, and the book Bhagavatam are non-different. And anyone who sees any difference between these three, he says, Jada Beda Achi Tada Nasha Balamate, he'll lose all his intelligence. He won't be able to approach the Lord. This is a very secret thing. Most people can't understand this because most people are too proud. And they don't want to go to a person because we're impersonalists. It's more convenient to go to a book. It's very easy. They don't give me any instructions. The book doesn't tell me what to do. The book doesn't chastise me. It's just there. It's a passive relationship. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to have shantaras, ras with Krishna. We don't want that relationship, a passive relationship. We want a very dynamic, loving relationship. And that requires something living. It requires a living saint. Someone who's actually following the Bhagavatam. Someone who's actually living the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. So, Srila Prabhupada discussed this on many occasions. If we want to understand the Bhagavatam, we have to hear from a person who's practicing. It's not enough to just be a theoretical speaker, just to memorize something. So many times we want to do that. It's easy. It's easy to memorize something. It's easy to learn something by heart. But it's very difficult. To operate it with your heart. Mm-hmm. Sanatana Goswami, he once told Haridas Thakur, Apane achare ke hanakore kachare Achare kore ke hanakore kachare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He said some people, they behave very well, but they don't preach. And then there's other people, they preach, but they don't behave very well. Achara prachana me koro hagritaya Sumishaiva guru tu jagasira aya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur, you're doing both things at the same time. You're not only speaking about the glories of the holy name, but you're practicing it. You're chanting it. It's something you've realized. Therefore, you are the guru of the whole world. He's the Bhakta Bhagavat that we should hear from. He's the qualified preacher. What does it mean to be a preacher? Sometimes we get the wrong idea. We think that a preacher means someone who becomes very expert at tricking people and coaxing them out of their money and flattering them. And if I become a very expert flatterer, then I'm a great preacher. And the proof is that I won the marathon. I distributed more books than everyone else, and they gave me a ticket to India, and they gave me some award, the Mahaprasadam. They clapped their hands. That's the proof. That's not preaching in Srila Prabhupada's movement. Listen to this. There's a conversation that took place in 1976 on May 2nd in Fiji with Srila Prabhupada. Guru Kripa Prabhu, he asked Prabhupada, Guru Kripa Maharaj, Prabhupada, what if sometimes a disciple, he goes to preach, but he's not preaching in the exact same spirit as a spiritual master? And Srila Prabhupada's response, therefore he's not to preach. He should not preach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Janma Sartaka Kodikar Para Upakar. Go do good to others, but first of all, do good to yourself. First of all, become a real preacher. Then go to preach. Prabhupada said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never sent a neophyte to go to preach. For the neophyte, preaching is not their business. For the neophyte, one should stick to the worship of the deity in the temple. Why? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam describes Archay Vishnu Shiva. No, it's not that verse. What is it? Huh? The nature of a Kanishta Adhikari. Where did you put my bag? Archaram eva haraye pujam ya shudayate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. Because he doesn't care about people. That's why he can't be a preacher. He worships God. I respect Goni Thai. They're very wonderful. And I have my guru. I like him. But I have no time for all these other people. They're karmis. They're Maya Devis. I don't want to see them. He doesn't have love for them. How can he preach to them? So Prabhupada said, for the neophyte, that means the Kanishtha Adhikari, the preaching's not their business. For the neophyte, one should stick to the worship of the deity in the temple. It's okay. There's a position for everyone. But the neophyte shouldn't go out like that because he doesn't have love for people. The Madhyama Adhikari, he can go out. Ishvareta Dadinishu, Balisayishu, Dusachucha, Prema Maitri Kripopeksha, Sakaroti, Samadhyamaha. The Madhyama Adhikari has some love and affection for innocent people. And he doesn't waste his time with envious people. He can preach. The Prabhupada goes on to say, and those who have understood the philosophy, who have applied the philosophy in their life, they should go for preaching. Otherwise, they'll preach wrongly. Prabhupada said very strongly, so if you're actually perfectly carrying out the orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you're preaching. Otherwise, you'll do wrongly and you'll mislead people. It's happened. It's happened. It happened in Singapore. We were telling Prabhuji the other day. The devotees went to Singapore. Very nice. They went to Singapore. They found there's so many Hindus there. Very easy place to preach, and the Hindus are very friendly. Oh, you come, stay in my temple. You can preach here. And then the devotees, they noticed, you guys are worshiping the demigods. This is very bad. You shouldn't worship the demigods. They're all Maya. They're bogus. You should only worship Krishna. Shiva's bogus, and Ganesh is bogus. And all these fellows are bogus. Don't worship them. And those people became very hurt and angry. But anyway, the devotees didn't care because they were preaching. And then later on, they had to get some legal permit to have an official society in Singapore. So they went to the government and said, okay, we want to have a legal society. The government said, well, there's only four religions which are allowed in Singapore. You're either a Hindu, a Christian, a Muslim, or you belong to the Confucius faith. And within each one of those groups, there's a number of different sects. Within the Christian group, there's the Protestants and the Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholics. And they come together and they decide if a new Christian group comes, they have to approve you. Similarly with the Hindus. So the devotees found that they had to go before the Hindus to get permission. And they found it was the same people they were criticizing before. So they went and smiled. Can you please give us permission for this? and they said, no, get out. Mm-hmm. And to this day, ISKCON is against the law in Singapore. But they preached. But what kind of preaching? We have to preach in an intelligent way. Prabhupada said, if you're actually perfectly carrying out the orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you're preaching. Otherwise, you'll do wrongly, mislead. Don't do that. Anda yantandaya upaniyamana. If you remain blind, don't try to lead other blind men. That's misleading. First of all, open your eyes. Everything is there. Nobody should do anything whimsically. If you do whimsically, concoctedly, a very important point, if we concoct something, Prabhupada says, that will be a failure. It will not be effective. And then he says a very wonderful thing. We should frame this on the wall. I like this so much. Prabhupada said, simply to achieve a large following is not a sign of success. My dear devotees, please hear this again. Prabhupada said, simply to achieve a large following is not a sign of success. There are many who claim a following, but their followers don't abide by any philosophy. The real thing is quality, not quantity. My Guru Maharaj used to say like that, if I get at least one quality devotee, then all my labor will be successful. Prabhupada said from the very beginning, referring to himself, my strictures are there that you have to follow this quality. If I were to say, no, you can do whatever you like, then I think the quantity would have been very, very big. But I don't say. I make the devotees promise before the fire, before the deity, before guru. Prabhupada said, one moon is taken into account. Who takes account of millions of stars? Ekas chandas tamohanti nacha tadasahasrasaha. Quality. So we should be quality devotee, not quantity devotee. So we want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source, from a quality person. In this regard, Jiva Goswami, in Bhakti Sandarbha, he quotes Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and how there are two types of speakers. Just as there are different types of listeners, there's also different types of speakers. Bhakta sarago nirago dhidvara parikirtitaha sarago lalupa kami taduktam rin nasam spisat. Two types of speakers, known as a sarag vakta, a speaker who has material desires, and a nirag vakta, a speaker who has no material desires. A sarag speaker is a lusty person, is very greedy. And their words, taduktam hinna samsprisat, they don't touch your heart. And the Brahma Vaivarta Purana defines a sarag vakta, a speaker with material desires. Upadesham karotyeva. Na pariksham karoti cha aparikshyo padishtam yat lokanasaya tad bhavet. Such a person, the suragvakta, he doesn't carefully study shastra. And he's a passionate person. And he starts giving instruction without careful study. Such in teaching brings some destruction. He doesn't know what should be spoken and what should not be spoken. He doesn't understand what is the essential thing. He's not a saragrahi Vaishnav. He's a bharavahi Vaishnav, carrying a heavy load. He's not an essence-speaking person. And he can't tell the difference. The third canto of the Bhagavatam describes that shuddha raptir bhaktir anukramishyati, that there's a sequence of events when we hear from the right person. And how does the verse begin? We're very bad today. Nice verse. Satam prasangam mama virya samvidho bhavanti ritkana risayana kata tajoshnat asabhavarga vartmani shuddha ratir bhakti anukramishyati. We want to hear from pure devotees. Satam prasangam, a sat person. But another meaning, as we mentioned the other day, is to hear sat katha, pure katha. That's also there. Satam prasangam. And as we mentioned, I think, the other day too, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and his Saartha Darshani Tika on this verse, he raises a question. What is the necessity of saying prasangam? What is the necessity of the prefix pra in front of the word sangha? Why not just satam sangam? He says there's a difference between satam sangam and satam prasangam. Satam sangam means hearing about religious qualities. You should be a life member. Give some donation to God. It's very good for you. Be honest. Be a vegetarian. Prabhuji, you're a vegetarian, right? Yes? Good. You should be vegetarian. Don't eat meat. It's very bad. You should come every day to the temple. You should chant japa. You should do religious activities. This is satam sangam. It's good. Nice thing. But it's not what's being spoken about in this verse as rasayana katha. That katha which gives us life and which will bring us shraddha, ratir, bhaktir, anukramishyati. From vaidhi bhakti to bhav bhakti to prem bhakti. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says it won't do that. Therefore, we want to hear satam prasangam. Prasangam means topics directly about Krishna. If that's not illegal, we should speak directly about Krishna. Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to read Krishna book. We should talk about Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada did that in the early days. You listen to those first lectures Srila Prabhupada gave in 26 Second Avenue. He was speaking a lot about Krishna. Sometimes he was telling stories about Krishna and the gopis and very nice things. And then after some time, Prabhupada saw perhaps the audience wasn't what he'd hoped them to be. So he started speaking something a little different. You're not your body. And don't do illicit sex. Be a vegetarian. Things like that. But Prabhupada's also given this prasangam. And this prasangam is a thing which is really going to touch our heart. So we should want this thing. But the saradvakta, he can't distinguish between what is satam prasangam and satam sangam. He can't distinguish between these two things. He can't see what is the best, what is the necessary thing. He just gets into a mode and he just repeats in a mechanical kind of way. So we don't want to hear from such a speaker because their words bring about destruction to the people. They don't pierce the heart. They won't bring about a change in us. We want to hear from the Niragvakta, the speaker with no material desires. And Brahmavivarta Purana defines that person, Kama Krodadi Yukto Pi, Kripanopi Vishudavan, Shutva Vikasham Ayati, Savakta Paramo Guru. When hearing from the Niragvakta, someone like Srila Prabhupada, when you hear from such a person, even lusty, greedy persons, like the hippies in America, like the hippies in Tompkins Square Park, who were full of all vices, all bad qualities, full of despair, even those persons, this verse says, they'll enter into the spiritual world. They heard from Srila Prabhupada. He sat under that tree in Tompkins Square Park and played a pair of kartals. And spoke. And everyone who heard from him, they were transported to the spiritual world. His words had such potency. And then after Srila Prabhupada, we had, after that great lion-like personality left this world, we had a few jackals. One or two fell into some blue dye. And everyone thought they were very special. And they were following them. But they weren't the same. And their real true position was revealed. As soon as the moon came out and all the jackals started howling at the moon, they also started howling at the moon. And then everybody realized, oh, it's not such a person. It's just a blue jackal. We don't want to hear from that person. We want to hear from someone who's a genuine person. And such a person, Savakta Paramo Guru, he's the best of all gurus. We want to hear from such a personality. In this regard, we can comment that there's different types of sound vibration. This is described in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sabda Brahma Sudurbodham Pranindriya Manomayam Anantaparam Gambiram Duvigayam Samudravat. That the sound of the Vedic literatures is very difficult to understand. It manifests in different levels within Pranindriya Manomayam. This sound vibration, this Sabda Brahma, will manifest in the prana, in your life air. It'll manifest in your senses, and it may manifest in your mind. Anantaparam Gambiram. It's unlimited. The spiritual sound vibration is unlimited. It means it never dies. Srila Prabhupada said that in his dedication to the Srimad Bhagavatam. He offered respects to his spiritual master who lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. That sound vibration is eternal. It never stops. It's not the same as an ordinary sound vibration which has a beginning, a middle, and an end. This sound vibration is anantaparam. And it's gambiram. It's very, very deep and unfathomable. Just duryagayam samudravat, like the ocean. Just like you can't understand what's on the bottom of the ocean just by standing on the top and looking. My revered spiritual master, he said that Srila Prabhupada's books are very, very deep, like the ocean. Right? One of the synonyms of the ocean is Ratnagarbha. It has gems in the bottom of it. But if you want to get to those gems, you have to dive very deep. If you only stay on the surface, you just collect fish. You get some religion. But you don't get that real valuable treasure which is found there. So this sound vibration is durvigayam samudravat, like an unfathomable ocean that we can't understand, we can't see. In his purport to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that sound is divided into four different phases. And this subject matter, he says, can only be understood completely by the most intelligent Brahmins, because three of these phases are internally situated within the living entity, and only the fourth division is externally manifested as speech. A very deep thing. Who can speak Srimad Bhagavatam? Who can speak the Sabda Brahma? It's a very, very deep subject. I mentioned the other day, I had one friend in San Diego when I joined. And he memorized a lecture, word for word, from one senior sannyasi. And then when they asked him to give a talk one day, he repeated this lecture. Just word for word as it was. And some people said, wow, that was really good. We really liked that. But it didn't have the same effect as that person. In fact, it had a bad effect, I can honestly say. A bad effect, because my friend became rather proud. And he also became a little crooked, because he was trying to claim those words as his own and using someone else's words. So there's a very deep science of sound. Acharyas have described, there's four different levels. These are known as Vaikari, Madhyama, Pashyanti, and Para. Vaikari is that sound which is manifest in this material world. It's a sound which comes from the lips. It's called, another word for it is nasika vayu. There's some air coming, vayu, but it's nasika vayu. Some air coming from your nose. You blow your nose and you make a loud sound. That's about how much value that is. But the madhyama shabda, that's some sound which someone has thought about. They've deeply considered. And when that thing is spoken, it's more on the level of the mind, it has some deep deepness to it, but you can't see it because it's something which is thought. And then there's Pashyanti. Pashyanti means a concentrated thought pattern. Someone's really focused on it in a very deep way. In other words, with a very peaceful mind, free from material desires, they've contemplated these things. It's still not Sabda-Brahma. But at the end of the Pashyanti stage, Nam and Nami become Abhina. They become one. One actually realizes a non-different nature between the holy name and Krishna. And then that becomes Para, transcendental. And that Para stage is known as Vaikuntha Vayu. The air which is coming from the spiritual world. Golokera Prema Dana, Harinama Sankirtana. It's descended, this sound vibration is descended from the spiritual world through the medium of Krishna's pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada, he describes in one place that this sound vibration has to be done in person. Listen, he says a very interesting thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I like this purport so much that I'm about to read. I find it for Westerners who have a certain conception of sound vibration and a certain conception of learning, it's very bewildering to hear what Srila Prabhupada says. We're about to read. Listen carefully. Prabhupada says, it is useless to acquire knowledge through the senses. The Vedic process is to hear from authority. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.2, the Lord says, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshiyo vidu. The supreme science is thus received through the chain of the siblic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. And Prabhupada says, we have to hear, not from a telephone, but from an authorized person, for it is he who has real knowledge. Well, coming from our background, is there a difference hearing from a person on a telephone and hearing from the person? I talk to people on the telephone every day. What is the difference? Prabhuji? It comes a little late. Yes. If you're having a conversation on Skype, a Skype conversation, sometimes there's a little echo, sometimes there's a little halt. That's there. It's not really the person. You're hearing some imitation, which is done through some recording, through some machines. And most importantly, there's no Vaikuntha Vayu. There's no transcendental air coming through that phone. It's just some electricity, some eons and ions, you know, moving in different ways. It's not a person. It's not the same as being in the presence of a devotee. And therefore Prabhupada says that. What is the difference between hearing from someone in a telephone and not hearing? A very, very deep point that he's making. Prabhupada wasn't very fond of telephones. But would you make a comment?
Does this have something to do with the whole concept of darshan? Because
yeah.
The presence of another person, you're receiving and giving darshan, it's like you're giving and taking the energy that you're not going to get on the telephone.
Very good. Sometimes devotees, with all respect for our preachers who we want to support, they start websites and they call them www.darshan.com. And it's really convenient, you know. You can wake up at 4:25 in the morning, turn on your computer, sit up in bed, and go to Mangal Arti. You don't have to take a bath. You don't have to trouble yourself. You can just sit right there. Sangsara dada nalalita loka. But that's not darshan. There's some representative, there's some, they've taken some JPEG pictures or some video which is being transmitted, and there's some imitation. It's just little pluses and minuses is all that it is. It's not really the Lord. You have to go to the temple. You have to come before the Lord. And darshan means that the Lord sees me. I can't see the Lord, not that I come, oh, nice outfit today. Yeah, I approve. The devotees who made it did a good job. Nice job. That's not darshan. Darshan means that we come and we report before the Lord. I'm here for your service. Uh-huh. It's a very good point. Uh-huh. Because Ata Shri Krishna Amadi Nabhadegra Indriyai. We can't perceive Krishna, Krishna's name, Krishna's deities, Krishna's book, through our senses. Sevan Mukhi Jivado. We have to do it through service.
Yes, Prabhu. Of course, there's deity darshan, there's also guru darshan. Okay. And sometimes I try to explain, what is it like to be in the presence of Srila Prabhupada? I can't explain that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to experience it.
Yes. And you have to be there, Prabhupada has to see you. And it's not the same. You know, I can say, well, I read this book, so I'm just the same as you, Prabhuji. No. It's not the same. It's not the same when someone sits and hears from such a person like that, and they look at you. And they look, and so many devotees have said, we've heard so many stories, people coming, there's one, we know one Mataji, give one example, in Seattle, Washington, her name now is Srimati, a good friend of ours, I haven't seen her in a long time, but she's a sincere devotee. She was a impersonalist kind of yogi. And one day in Seattle, she went on top of some hill very early in the morning, and she sat down in Padmasana, and she started meditating because she had a very big job. She decided, I'm going to make the sun rise, because she's non-different from God. Mm-hmm. And if you're God, that's what you do. God makes the sun rise, right? So she was sitting there, I'm making the sun rise. And unfortunately, it was a cloudy day. So it didn't work. But anyway, later on in the day, she saw one of her friends, and her friend said, hey, you got to come. We're going to hear from some Swami. So she went to hear from the Swami, from Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was speaking. Suddenly in the middle of his lecture, he stopped and he said something completely unrelated to what he was saying. He pointed right at her, he looked right at her. He didn't point at her, he looked right at her and said, you can't make the sun rise. She became a devotee. So the tape doesn't do that. The book doesn't do that. We have to have a personal relationship. But that requires some faith. We have to cry to Krishna, because it's not a cheap, easy thing. It's not just that you go and say, hey, Tapas Prabhu, can you give me a list of all the gurus in ISKCON? And you look over the list. Do you have any pictures of them also? Photographs? Oh, this one, oh, he's really, he looks really handsome. I like that. Yeah, this one's Indian. That's better. Mm-hmm. And we pick a guru like that with our senses. So, as Prabhuji is saying, this is the same similar topic with Sabda Brahma and Darshan. With Sabda Brahma, this is Vaikanari. Your senses are perceiving something. And that's all that it is. So my senses perceive, I like this person. Looks pretty good to me, man. Plays a good guitar. Looks really handsome. Got a good suntan. Must be a really nice guru. And some people did that, isn't it? Remember those days? Some people did like that. It's okay. We learned something from that. And even those people, they helped us something. Uh-huh. So we have to hear from a person. Uh-huh. Now, a question arises at this point. If the speaker has to be a niragvakta, we want to hear from a speaker who has no material desires. We want to hear from a speaker who's realized, and that's the real transmission of Sabda Brahma. The question may come from some people in the audience, some very angry people, I don't know, they may say, Madhav Nanda, what are you doing then? It's an honest question. What are you doing sitting there speaking? Are you a niragvakta? Srila Prabhupada told all the devotees to speak. My spiritual master, he commented on this. He said that the function of Sadguru is to speak. And when he speaks, that's Sabda Brahma. That's Vaikuntha Vayu coming from his lips. The function of the disciple is to listen and hear. And then what does the disciple do after that? The guru tells him, now you go and speak. But wait a minute. Guru just told us that we should hear from the Niragvakta, from a speaker who has no material desires. That's not me. How many disciples in the very beginning are such a person? Sorry, I can't do it. No. Prabhupada said, you must do it. He insisted. But you simply speak what you've heard. You just repeat. And my Guru Maharaji said, that kirtan of the disciple. He said, that's the kirtan of the disciple. And the kirtan of the disciple is another name for shravan, for hearing. We're repeating what we heard from Srila Prabhupada without changing it. And if we do that, that kirtan, that speaking is hearing. We're hearing. I'm getting a chance to hear in your good association, by your kind mercy. It's for my benefit that we're doing this thing. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 40, text 7, describes Bahu Murtika Murtikam. Krishna is Advaya Tattva. He's one. But he becomes many, as in the Ras Lila, or as in Dwarka. 16,108 palaces. When Sudama Vipra arrived in Dwarka, he took a boat, Acharya's described, across the bay to Dwarka. And he arrived there and he saw so many huge palaces, skyscrapers everywhere. And he asked some of the people there, which place does Krishna live in? And they said, all of them. And he said, okay. Which one is he present in now? And they said, all of them. So Bahut Murtika Murtikam. Krishna's one, but he becomes many. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse, Chinmayinam nanati pyaikyam abhipretam. Just as Krishna is one, but he becomes many, so also is the holy name. So also is the Krishna Katha that we hear from Sri Guru. When we repeat that, we may hear it one time, and we repeat that, then Krishna again manifests, and we repeat it again, and again he appears. And every time I repeat, I chant that name that I've heard from my guru, Krishna's appearing again and again and again. He appeared one time. Nama Shrestham Manamapi Sachiputra Matra Swarupam. By the mercy of my Gurudev, he gave me that holy name. And now, my kirtan is a kind of echo. But Krishna's also appearing in that echo. He's coming there. He's one, Advaya Tattva, but he's becoming many. Bahu Murtika Murtikam. So the kirtan of the disciple is another name for shravan. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, many times he instructed the devotees. This is one lecture he gave in Los Angeles, 9th of June, 1976. Prabhupada said, simply hear. Preaching means to propagate or vibrate what Krishna has said. That is the position of the preacher, that you simply repeat like a parrot. You have no qualification. Whatever is said in Bhagavad Gita, you simply repeat. And the others simply hear. Shravanam, kirtanam. Then both of them become liberated. There is no question, no necessity of becoming a qualified person. This is the only qualification, that a preacher should preach only what Krishna has said. That's all. No manufacturing, no concoction. And the audience? They should hear from a person who doesn't speak anything else except for Krishna's teachings. That's all. These two things, if carried out, will benefit the one who's speaking and the one who's hearing. Both are benefited. And Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness movement is thus opening so many centers just to give people the opportunity to hear. And our duty is to speak, but it doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my guru. It belongs to Krishna. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And as we said, I think on the first day, it's like worshipping the deity. This deity is a Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a book deity. When we come from Mangalartik, the devotee is there and they're offering incense and ghee lamp to the deity. And we see that worship. So this is also worship. And the pujari is the speaker. And the deity is the Krishna Katha. If the pujari in the morning, we mentioned the other day, everyone is coming, he starts thinking, look, so many people came to see me. It's pretty good. And he's a fool. They're coming to see the deity. They're not coming to see you. You close the curtains and say, here I am, like this. Go ahead and do the kirtan for my pleasure. They'll beat you with sticks. They're coming to see the deity, not to see you. So we have a responsibility as disciples and aspiring disciples. We have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a person. And then he says, now there's some Guru Dakshina, some bakshis, some donation you have to give. Yes, Guru Maharaj, what is that? Now you have to speak. But you're not the real speaker. We're just the pujari. And our job is to provide the deity of this Krishna Katha. And don't think it belongs to us. Don't think, wow, so many people came to hear me today. Very good. I must be something very special. Then you're a demon. You're not a devotee. That's the kind of Krishna Katha that Ravan likes to speak about. He likes to tell about himself. We should speak about Krishna. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna visayana katha. This is a visayana katha which will give all of us life. If we simply speak this thing, if we simply repeat what we've heard from our guru, then a very magical thing happens. I'll give you an example of what magical thing happens. A few hundred years ago, in West Bengal, there was a devotee, his name was Sri Radharaman Ghosh. And toward the end of his life, he went to Vrindavan to do bhajan. And he was wandering around in the forest of Vrindavan, chanting japa, and praying to Krishna. And one day, he saw something funny in the distance in the forest. He saw some old sadhu sitting down on the ground in front of a black tamal tree. And the sadhu was reciting the Bhagavatam with tears in his eyes. He was crying as he read the Bhagavatam. And this speaker was thinking that Krishna is right here in front of me. He was speaking to a tree. But it was a black tree, a tamal tree. So he's thinking, Krishna's hearing from me. And he was so happy, so ecstatic to speak the Bhagavatam, to recite the Bhagavatam before that tree. He was just crying. And so this Radharaman Ghosh, this is a pretty far out Bhagavatam class. I like this. So he sat down very quietly in the back from behind that sadhu when he listened. And then the next day he came again and he saw sadhu was again. And again he sat down without the sadhu noticing him. And again he listened. And every day he started coming. And then one day the sadhu heard something. And he saw him. And he smiled. And called him. You sit here. And he told him, you'll be the second listener. Krishna's the first listener. And you'll be the second listener. So that sadhu was reciting the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Radharaman Ghosh sat there with him every day, hearing it as they were speaking to this black tree. Finally, they came to the 12th canto, and they finished the Bhagavatam. And an amazing thing suddenly happened. Suddenly, that tree burst open. And this Radharaman Ghosh, he saw a very blinding effulgence inside that tree. And there, standing in the middle of that tree, he saw Dvibhuj Muralidhar, Shyam Sundar Krishna, with his flute. And Krishna was smiling at him. And Radharaman goes, pretty good Bhagavatam class. He fell down on the ground, unconscious. Huh? And when he finally came to his external consciousness again, he saw that his head was on the lap of that sadhu. And that sadhu was smiling at him and rubbing him on his head. Huh? And the sadhu, with great affection, he told him, Radharaman, Radharaman Ghosh, he said, Radharaman, you've been blessed with darshan of my Radharaman. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a service to do. Every day, you should read Srimad Bhagavatam to Krishna. Because Krishna likes to hear it. And that sadhu told him, it's not necessary to do a pranapatista. Shri Krishna yahavaha yahavaha, Shri Krishna yahatista yahatista, Shri Krishna. Huh? There's a pranapratistha ceremony. Hmm? You call the deity, mantras, and you ask the Lord to come. So that's not necessary to do that. Huh? You just sit down and read Srimad Bhagavatam. Wherever you want to speak. Huh? But don't speculate. Don't make anything up. Just repeat. Just read what's there. Huh? And Krishna loves the Bhagavatam so much, he'll come running to the place where the Bhagavatam is being recited, and Krishna comes, and he enters into the hearts of both the speaker and the listeners and becomes like a prisoner. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the Skanda Purana describes in the Bhagavat Mahatmya section, Srimad Bhagavatam Shastram Yatra Bhagavatar Yada Kirtyate Shruyate Chapi Shri Krishna's Tatra Nishchitam. Wherever and whenever devotees come together to recite and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, you should know for certain that someone else also comes. Krishna comes running to hear the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. And the sadhu told Radharaman Ghosh, he becomes a prisoner in the hearts of the speaker and the listener. And Krishna's not alone. The Skanda Purana says, Srimad Bhagavatam Yatra Shlokam Shlokardam Evacha Tatrapi Bhagavan Krishna Balava Birbarajate. You just recite one verse. You just recite half a verse. Krishna will come running with the gopis. And he'll be there. This is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is why Srup Damodar Goswami, he's instructed, Jaho Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavira Stane Ekanda Shayakara Chaitanya Charane. If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to go to the Bhakta Bhagavat and you have to take one pointed shelter, Ekanta Ashraya, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the necessity we ask on the first day of taking shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Prema Pradatta. He gives Krishna Prem. He's Mahavadanyaya Avatar, the most merciful manifestation of the Lord, because he gives Krishna Prem to everyone. So this Krishna Prem is required to understand Srimad Bhagavatam because that's what it's made out of. Prema Mayi Bhagavata, Krishna Sriyanga. It's part of Krishna's body. It's simply full of Krishna Prem. So these two things we have to approach through the devotee and we have to approach through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's another meaning also though. Mm-hmm. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has indicated this. Nikhila Puja Padeshwane Shahe Bhagavan Satya Satya Sreya Hari Dirtha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. Mahaprabhu said, Satya Satya, this is the truth. I'm not telling a lie. Satya means I swear. I vow, this is the fact, Nitya Puji Parishuni Chai Bhagavat, that if you regularly hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you'll become a Bhagavat. You'll become the person Bhagavat by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. And this is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Because he's Bhakta Rup. He came in the mood of a devotee. And therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described who is the Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Rasa Nityananda Bhagavatamra Vihajani Vihasya Parama Bhagavanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Bhagavata Rasa Nityananda Murti Manta. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is a personification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And someone who understands this becomes most fortunate. Because this Srimad Bhagavatam has two forms, the devotee Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. And that devotee Bhagavat, Lord Balaram came as a devotee Bhagavat. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the same Chaitanya Bhagavat, Jayami Se Nityananda Bedanai. There's no difference between myself and Nityananda Prabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to approach him in a one-pointed way to understand the Bhagavat, and we have to approach a devotee. The other meaning is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself comes to be a devotee, to taste the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we also have to learn from him, to recite Srimad Bhagavatam, to repeat what we've heard from Srila Prabhupada, and to read this thing. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement. For devotees, for people to come together to be able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we do this, if we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in a regular way, Nitya Puja Padishuni Chai Bhagavata Satya Satya Se Hoi Beka Se Mata, Mahaprabhu says, I swear, you'll all become the person Bhagavat, which means we'll all have Krishna praying. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bo Vanchakopadarubhishcha Kripasindubhivacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo. So, thank you very much for giving us some opportunity. This is a Vaishnav Sangha. Even though I'm a very young person and I'm not a qualified person, we're getting a chance to share something together. Very wonderful thing, the Bhagavatam. Are there any questions or comments from anybody? Ramana Superbowl, do you want to add something?
I just want to thank you for this whole series on Bhagavatam. I think it's very, very important that we continue this, actually. Continue your traveling as much as you can do it. And increase it. I think it's very valuable for you to do it.
Okay, well, you've made me emboldened. Then I have to request everybody that there's a fee for all this. But we don't need your money, but you all have to give us your blessings, that we can be genuine persons and do something.
I also have a question, because you can take the old days in Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam class was basically a requirement. You were expected. If you weren't there, you would notice, we're such and such for the Bhagavatam class. Nowadays, it's more or less an option, and it seems like few devotees are dedicated to attending and giving Bhagavatam. All kinds of excuses, all kinds of rationalization that goes on. Some of it is, the speaker is not so clear or purified, or doesn't give a good class. One of those classes is always called three things. I'm not so attracted to going and listening to Bhagavatam like maybe I used to be. That's just my own mind, rationalizing why I don't do this. So how can we reestablish
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's four different motivations. We were speaking about this morning at the BBT. Four different motivations someone may have in worshiping the Lord. Baya, Asha, Karta, Bibhuti, and Rag. Baya means out of fear. We used to have it sometimes. I've seen some temples, and if you don't come to Bhagavatam class, no prasadam. Or you'll be kicked out of the temple. So everybody was there for Bhagavatam class. Huh? So that's baya. That's a very low class motivation. It's not the best. Just like if you want to be friends with someone. I may be friends with Ramana Sukhabhu because he's bigger than me. And I'm afraid he might beat me up. So if I'm afraid, but that's not a very satisfying relationship. Fear. Another type is asha, that I want something from you. I want some money or something. And so that's another motivation that people have for attending the Bhagavatam class. If I attend the Bhagavatam class, then everybody will give me respect. Yeah, every day, he never misses the class. He's always there. Are you listening? No. But every day he's there, at least with his body. So Bhaktivinoda says that baya and asha are very low class. Better one comes to the platform of Kartavyabuddhi. Kartavyabuddhi means out of some sense of responsibility, a sense of duty. I should do this. I was initiated. This is my guru. He gave an instruction. I should do this thing. That's better. But the real thing is out of rag. And that is some genuine taste for that. We don't genuinely have that. Not very often. But still, at a Kartavyabuddhi, an intelligent person will come. It used to be, in the old days, even when I joined in Los Angeles when we first met each other, in those days you had to come to class. And he says that they told us, and we'd get in trouble if we didn't, and maybe kicked out of the temple even, or whatever. But nowadays, Tapas Prabhu can't tell anybody that. They won't listen to him. He doesn't look very frightening, you know. He can't threaten anyone. So nowadays, it's more of a free-fall thing. But it's more of a confidential thing. And if somebody's really eager for that, or maybe they may have some rag, or at least they have some Kartavyabuddhi. Srila Prabhupada said, every day we should do that. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The Bhagavatam says that every day we should serve the Bhagavatam by hearing from it. Speaker may not be very good. Once one sadhu came to see my Guru Maharaj in Orissa, and he traveled with my Guru Maharaj to Mayapur, to ISKCON. And this sadhu, he didn't speak any English. He was from Orissa. And he came and sat in the Bhagavatam class. And one of our Western speakers was giving the class, and he gave the class, and the sadhu was sitting listening, nodding his head and smiling and like this. And my Guru Maharaj, afterwards, he asked him, he said, you look so happy during the class. Could you understand what was being said? He said, nope. Couldn't understand anything. And he said, but once in a while, they'd quote a verse. And I'd recognize the verse. And it gave me so much pleasure to hear that. So he's a person who has some taste. He's an intelligent person. Krishna's present in the Bhagavatam. But he hides. He hides away from people who aren't qualified listeners. And he hides away from people who aren't qualified speakers. But if we're very, very sincere, even if the speaker's not qualified, if the listener's very, very eager, Krishna will manifest. We've seen that. We spoke about that the other day, something. It's a nice point. That's okay? Kalindi, you had a point?
I have one question. And also, more comment.
Good.
About speaking about Krishna, Krishna book and Krishna Leela, and then after some time, he was more like...
You're not your body.
Yeah. And then when the Krishna book was here, finished the Krishna book and it was going to be printed, his disciple said, we suppose this is only for the devotee Krishna book, so we will print 500 books, is that okay? And Prabhupada said, no, you print 50,000. Everyone should read it. It's not just for the devotee. Everyone should read Krishna book and Krishna Rasa. So I think that was very important.
Yes, it's a good point.
I was a little confused. You said that if there is a tape from Prabhupada for reading, if I understood right, so you have to correct me, if a simple soul who is a Krishna Bhakta speaks Bhagavatam for another simple soul, that is a better way than
hearing and take.
So it's like otherwise it's easy to say, no, you don't listen from me because I'm not so strong. You have a tape from Prabhupada, you can listen, that will be better for you. That is a common thing. But you mean that if this person...
If we repeat what Srila Prabhupada says,
because I
can tell you honestly, if when I joined the temple, if they just had a tape recorder playing, I don't think I ever would have gone to class. I wouldn't have found it very interesting, and I suspect that most people wouldn't.
There's such a huge difference between Prabhupada
and a
simple person.
But when I joined, I wanted to meet people who had met Prabhupada. And I wanted to meet people who had digested what Prabhupada said. And I wanted to hear, I didn't want to just hear some topics about their family or some mundane things. I wanted to hear what Prabhupada said from those people.
The years go by and Prabhupada's been absent in Bhopal for such a long time, so it's a new generation. So, and after some time after when you were speaking here, more and more, if it's not Prabhupada, I mean...
Things may get watered down, you're right. Therefore Prabhupada, when he was in Bhubaneswar in 1977, in one conversation he said, Sampradaya Rakshana, protecting the Sampradaya is the duty of the Acharya. And of course the duty of the disciples is to assist him. And in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada speaks about after the disappearance of the Acharya, and how rogues and dacoits, they'll come and they try to change things. And he says it's the duty of the sincere disciple at that time to take the message of the spiritual master. It's the duty of the devotees to repeat what Prabhupada said. It's a very careful thing. And Prabhupada says in this conversation, he says, you have no qualification. You have only one qualification, that we simply repeat. And for me, I can tell you, when I joined in Los Angeles in 1982, that was enough for me. I wanted to meet some people. I remember very clearly, a very strong feeling in my heart. It was a weird thing to me. I was afraid of the devotees. I was already chanting Hare Krishna. I knew something about it, but I thought, man, these guys are a little weird, you know. I don't know about living in the ashram and all that. It made me a little nervous. But when I finally decided to go there, I wanted to meet some people, something like me, who had met Srila Prabhupada, and who weren't just all from the spiritual world or something, but who met Srila Prabhupada and had some and could repeat that message. I wanted to hear their realizations. And I think that most people are something like that.
Like for example, sisters, they can maybe never meet a person that has met Prabhupada. So
there's one right there.
Yeah, but next generation.
Okay. I don't mind. Devotees can do different things. And it's okay. It's not a quarrel, it's not a controversial thing. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to South India. Whoever saw him, they became ecstatic. They became a Premi Bhakta. And then whoever saw that person, they also got that mercy. And then whoever saw that person who'd seen that person, they also got that mercy. And Srila Prabhupada talks about that in his purport, that this is our disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada's not physically present with us. Now some people, I respect that. Some people, they only, and I'm not saying, I don't know exactly your mood, and I don't mind. Some people, they only have faith in the tape. They only have faith just in Prabhupada. That's okay. I remember in Vrindavan last year, when I went to Lloyd Bazaar, I saw a Harinam party. Very unusual Harinam party. There's only two devotees. One of them was operating a bicycle. And on the back of the bicycle, there was a flatbed bicycle. There was a speaker. And they were playing a recording of Srila Prabhupada doing kirtan. And then there was one devotee behind that with kartals. And he was going along. And he was chanting with the kirtan. And they were trying to get other people to come. And I saw them every day for a week or so. I never saw more than one person with that kirtan. And I have to say, I hope it's not a demoniac comment, but that kirtan made me feel very sad. It didn't make me feel very happy. Because it seemed like everything was dead. Like here's some historical thing, we have this tape and we remember Prabhupada, but there's no living person who can do that. I get so much more inspiration even when I'm in a kirtan with a new bhakta who is really enthusiastic and everybody chants.
The presence consciousness. The consciousness right there.
But Prabhupada will manifest in different ways. Jiva Goswami is a very elevated person. In the first verse of the Bhagavatam, it's described Satyam Param Dhimahi. He says that this verse, there's all kinds of pastimes, and he starts telling, there's a story in this verse, and Radha and Krishna are meeting, and Lalita's there, and Krishna's playing on his flute, and the ground melts underneath his feet, and the Jamuna River holds still. He says, this is all there in this verse. And I read the verse, I don't see that. Huh? I don't see that thing. I just see some ink, some different words. I don't see that thing. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. When someone has the eyes of love, they may directly see. And I don't doubt, if someone hears a tape of Srila Prabhupada, if they're a very elevated person, Prabhupada may manifest in that tape and personally speak to them and may have a vision of Prabhupada. They may see Prabhupada in the book. But it's not the general thing. It's not the common thing. The general thing is that we all have to have a person. We should approach. Prabhupada said, if you love me, love my dog. Why can't I meet Srila Prabhupada through one of Prabhupada's sincere disciples? And I know there's been a lot of problems, and a lot of them aren't qualified, but why not? Why can't I meet Srila Prabhupada through you, or through Ramanath Prabhu? I do. Tapasguru?
Just a couple of years ago, Srila almost made a Jasapuya from Prabhupada. And his main topic was, who knows Srila Prabhupada? And because he made it was like a comment to this book. Book about all those people who knew Prabhupada before he went to this.
Oh, by Mother Mula Prakriti.
Yeah,
I knew her. Nice devotee. Nice special.
And he questioned that whether actually many of these people knew Srila Prabhupada so much. His point was that, like, how you know Krishna, you can only know Krishna through bhakti. And the bhakti means service.
Yes.
Those who know Prabhupada, that's those who serve Prabhupada. So the association, so when you say you want to meet somebody who matches the Prabhupada, but there are disciples of Prabhupada not matching. And they're still full on in service. I mean, they didn't meet him physically. But they were initiated, they have served him faithfully, and this bonding association, that association by following instruction and service has imbibed them with presence of Prabhupada. So, like you said, this is kind of how this association continues. That's what I said, I'm supporting that yes, we can meet Prabhupada today, and where the service of Prabhupada is there, that's where Prabhupada is present.
In this connection too, we should make a little announcement. And someone told me last night they had a very good idea to start having a Prabhupada night some nights. Ramanath Prabhu was thinking about that and sharing some realizations and thoughts about Srila Prabhupada so devotees can meet with him in that way. I thought it was a very nice idea. And also meeting through serving. And that's the best way, as Prabhupada said. There's a story, we heard it's a true story. There was one like big Chaturvedi pundit. Chaturvedi means someone may be an Ekvedi or Dvivedi or Trivedi or Chaturvedi. An Ekvedi means you've memorized one Veda. Dvivedi, you've memorized two Vedas, Rig and the Ajurveda maybe. Trivedi, you've memorized three Vedas. Chaturvedi, you've memorized all four. There's one person, big scholar, Chaturvedi, came to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once. Maharaj, I have this question, very deep question, very difficult. I've been asking so many scholars and sadhus. No one could answer this question. Could you please answer? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I'm sorry, I'm busy. You go down and you ask the dishwasher, the pot washer, maybe he'll have time for you. Man, you can imagine a very high class man. I'm going to go ask the pot washer this question. Nobody can answer this question. I'm supposed to. But he was submissive. He thought, anyway, okay, he's a sadhu, so I'll do what he said. He came down to ask the pot washer. Pot washer said, well, you know, I'm really busy. You know, it's kind of hard for me to answer you. Could you help me? The man is a very high class man. Okay. So he started washing the dishes. And all of a sudden, the answer to his question just came to him. That's it. And he went back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He said, I realize that this pot washer is a very special person. Uh-huh. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explained to him, no, what's special is service. Because when we're in this service with sincerity, Krishna comes in our heart. Shushusho shadadhanasya vasudeva katavachi sa mahasevaya vipra-punya-tirtana seva. This is how we have to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. All right? Okay, anything else is there? You had a question, Prabhu?
Well, when you said this, I remember the verse, I read Deva Dhinesha Kavishu Deva Dhinasana Kamal Kavisham Hena Yogan and Vishvam Anumbratan. It's just that one who doesn't serve, he can't even understand the activities and pastimes of the Lord.
Mm. Nice verse.
Yeah, I remember it, because so nice to explain that you have to do service to understand, otherwise you cannot have any realization. So
perfectly illustrates that story. Very nice. You wondered what?
Well, I just thought about it and I wondered if you could say something more.
Well, just a simple point. We should do service. And service means, what is service, we could ask. Service means anukulyena Krishna. It means favorable service. It means not with some speculation. We should serve the Bhagavatam. The Prabhupada said, you serve the Bhagavatam by repeating what the Bhagavatam says, by repeating what Prabhupada said, and without changing it. Prabhupada emphasized that so strong. It's a very, very important principle. And this is the principle amongst all sadhus. We should quote authority. We shouldn't speculate things. You're quoting Shastra, that's very good. We should quote. And it doesn't mean that to say that, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. I'm sorry, Krishna does not say that in Bhagavad Gita. He says, sarva dharmam parityagya. Krishna didn't speak the Bhagavad Gita in English. Prabhupada wanted devotees also to learn the Sanskrit. And it's an important thing. Even we may not be able to do it so well. Prabhupada said, at least you learn to pronounce it nicely. And we should quote that. There's some potency in Krishna's direct words. And also it protects our sampradaya. Because sometimes we see, especially today, I know I'm in the business of publishing and researching, and there's so many people who do translation work, and their translations are very, very sloppy. They're very poor, and sometimes they're just flat out wrong. And we can make fools out of our movement. We can make fools out of ourselves. So we should learn. We should quote something. And that's a very important service. In so many ways we can serve the Bhagavatam. We can serve the Bhagavatam by coming and hearing it, by repeating it, by distributing it, by worshipping it, by helping to print it, by giving donations for it. There's so many ways to serve the Bhagavatam. But we should serve. By coming and maintaining a restaurant, that's a service for the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says the purpose of our Krishna conscious movement is to give a place for people to come and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this restaurant is doing Bhagavatam service. And people come to see the deities, the pujaris are also serving the Bhagavatam. Because Shishi Gornitai are the living embodiment of the Bhagavatam. And also because if some people want to come and see the deities, maybe they'll hear the Bhagavatam. Maybe they'll buy a Bhagavatam. So everything that we do is service of the Bhagavatam. And we should consider it in that way. Okay? Tell us, Prabhu.
Yeah, I want to read just a couple of things.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So you mentioned, but this connection between serving the person Bhagavatam and book Bhagavatam. The Prabhupada said, by pleasing the devotee Bhagavatam, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavatam. So you can understand the book Bhagavatam when you please the person Bhagavatam. And then, a couple of verses before, he says, the servants of God, he speaks about the person all the time. Shan Mahapasavaya.
This is second canto?
Yeah, it's 16. That's first canto, second canto. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and Italian people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servants of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of the Lord.
Wonderful. Yeah, this exactly like what we're saying. Paka.
Yeah, and this, the person Bhagavata wants to propagate Bhagavata. But that's a big oppression.
You need some help.
That's a big oppression. That's the whole, like you said, everything is for details, everything is for that. It's a big operation. So we find some service there. Then
it'll become a living thing.
Yeah, then we can appreciate Bhagavatam.
This is very nice. This is the difference between religion and spiritual life. Prabhupada didn't come to start a religion. Even if we tried very hard to make it into one. It should be a living thing. The Bhagavatam is living. It's such a wonderful, in the 60s and 70s, I remember they used to have the be-ins and the happenings. This is a happening. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a happening. It should be a living thing. It's wonderful. Do you have a comment or something?
I have a further comment about this idea of hearing rather than reading.
Mm-hmm.
In the earlier days in the movement, devotees would get together in the evening, be a designated time, a designated reader. At a certain time, hot milk for shopping would come out. Sometimes maybe food, mainly hot milk. And one devotee would be the designated reader reading from the Krishna book. The devotees would have hot milk and listen from the person reading and hearing. Very powerful, very potent. These are like memories that I have. And
I have those same memories. When I was a bhakti leader in L.A.
too much.
Yes.
But still, I understand the potency of hearing. Just hearing someone reading Krishna
book. It's such a nice thing. And there's a camaraderie.
It's a camaraderie.
Amongst the devotees. It also, when you're saying it also evokes some memories in me. A similar thing. I was just getting the tail end of that in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, how wonderful it would be if many, because I know these are practices that kind of fall in the way.
Right. Some places.
It's such a simple thing like this. Hot milk for shopping.
Yeah. But some places devotees still get together. My friend Rishikananda, I don't know if you remember Sanatan from L.A. He was there for a long time. You'd recognize him. He was in Mayapur recently. He was wandering around. He was feeling kind of sad. He said, I'm here. It's Gaur Purnima time. But what am I doing? I'm not. There's no Krishna Katha or anything. And then he bumped into, one of your godbrothers. His name's not coming to my mind. Anyway, it's not so important. And he said, how are you doing? And Rishikananda said, well, actually, I'm feeling kind of depressed. You know, why? Well, I just feel like I should be hearing some Krishna Katha and things. He said, yeah, I think so also. Why don't we come together and start reading Chaitanya Charitamrita together? And then every night, and three or four other devotees came, and they just started reading it. And Rishikananda told me, it was so nectar, it was so wonderful. And we just have to do that. Parasparana Katanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yasa. The Bhagavatam 11th canto says we should learn how to associate with devotees by coming together and hearing.
When we started this, me and my husband, we were only two for such a long time.
Uh-huh.
And then we were morning and evening always reading together. Reading, listening, crying, reading. and always, every morning, every evening, just like this Krishna book in the evening.
That's so nice. Such a nice memory, isn't it?
Yeah, but we were only two all the time.
We used to do that. I remember when we were on traveling Sankirtan, we'd stop and we had to cook, so one person was cutting the vegetables and the other devotee would be reading from the Bhagavatam. And we'd always be trying to read to each other. It's a really wonderful habit. We should do that again. Okay? Anything else to say? I want to really thank everybody very much, you know, not just for being listeners, but for listening with your heart and being so kind and loving of Krishna Kumar and I and letting us come here. And I want to mention something again to everybody. I mentioned the other day at the farm that we like to give some gift to devotees. We're very poor people. We told them in the farm we'd like to buy everybody a Jaguar car, but sorry, we don't have the money for that. You're all out of luck. But what we do have, we have a free email magazine, which is just Krishna Katha. And we really want to propagate Krishna Katha and try to serve the devotees and please everyone. So you can come and see this delightful lady over here, Krishna Kuhn. She can sign you up for free Krishna Katha Amrita Bindu. Or if you'd like, I think she has some magazines. There's two magazines. If somebody wants a magazine, it'd be awesome. But please.
Online.
Yeah, it comes by email. Wonderful. Just brand new. It's just our motto is just Krishna Katha with no promotion or institution bashing anything, just Krishna Katha. Go and see the lady here. she'll take your email address. Okay? So.
I'm not interested in your book, how you make notes and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, you can look. No problem. My Guru Maharaj told me that you should do four things. You should read, you should hear, read, write, and speak. He told me this personally. And he said, you should hear from a qualified source. And then after you hear, you should read the same kind of thing that he spoke, and by reading it, you'll remember it. And then he said, then you should write it down. And by writing it down, you'll remember it. Mm-hmm. And then you should speak it. And by speaking it, you'll realize it. So hear, read, write, and speak. So this is, these notebooks are ours.
Is it your writing in all of them?
Yes.
No printed?
Well, I have sometimes some computer printouts or something. We sometimes do it on the computer. It's easier. But usually I'm writing them. But it's verses and things from Shastra and things from Srila Prabhupada and like that. That's fine. There's other ways to do also. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Jandadashima Bhagavatam ki Vamcha Kopadarubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patita Anam Pavani Bhu Vaishnavi Bhu Namah Paramananda Prabhu ki Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes. Let's see. Here's one of my books. This is book number 17. And after I finished it, I wrote down about some of the main topics in it. Mm-hmm.